It's always a sort of hard occasion for me. Young man, 19 years old, part of the invasion force invading France in 1943. I watched as many my friends fell by my side, yet we had to continue on, not stop, keep on going, till we reached a shore and established base. Soon afterwards, we veered up way up toward Germany. Eventually, Germany fell. It's a great day for all of us. It's something I look forward to. A, look forward from the standpoint of God had a hand in it. Seen fit that things went the right way. God blessed America. Still blessing in it today. I trust that each one of us will do our part to pray for America every day of our lives. The greatest nation in the face of this earth. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. I want to serve my country with everything I possess because my country has done everything for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this nation of ours, for what it's meant to all of us, and the privilege it is to be an American, to know the God of this universe has blessed us with a special blessing. You belong to Him, and He belongs to us. Now, Heavenly Father, help us to say the words we need to say this morning to speak the heart of every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about a subject, Occupy Till I Come. Or I could say, let's keep busy for the Lord because He may come back any day. For a text, I'm using Luke chapter 19, verse 12 and 13. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. What does it mean? What does God mean? What do we think of a statement like, occupy till I come? What does such a statement mean? It's simply the Lord's way of telling each of us who are His children, He's coming back for us sometime in the future. But until that time arrives, we should all be busy for the Lord, living our lives, though He may come back tomorrow, and yet fulfilling our lives if He does not come back in our time. We are therefore instructed to occupy or keep ourselves busy in the Lord until He comes. We are also told the time of our occupying will be one of natural disasters, hardships on a worldwide scale. And He tells us all of these things are going to be a part of our lives. Now, physically speaking, believe me, it is not easy to live the Christian life if you live it for Christ. And besides all the natural disasters we must also endure, the disfavor of the world, and suffer the consequences, often, of discouragement. Fact is, whether we like it or not, sin will increase in various forms of deception, and it will be popular to be ungodly. But if you dare to disagree, you'll find yourself to be very unpopular. Today, drug addicts, moral actors, immoral, sports heroes, rock stars, and others of similar phases are worshipped, and the Christian too often is ridiculed and put down. Thank God, however, the blessed hope and promise of our God is that in the midst of these perilous times, the coming of our Lord will dispel all sin and darkness. But in the meantime, you and I are not to throw up our hands in despair, but we are to occupy till he comes again. Now, his promise is not to keep us from sin and temptation, but his promise is to be our strength through every ordeal, because he promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. Now, I want us to take a little closer look at these words, occupy till I come. And let's find the real meaning of these words. Now, believe me, God never intended the child of God to sit back and do nothing but merely wait until Jesus Christ comes again. This word of God strongly emphasizes that faith without works is dead. Faith is belief in action. And the only strategy that could redeem the time in this crucial hour that you and I live in, when the word of God is being challenged and repudiated, is earnest prayer, a lot of faith, and true repentance toward God. Now the question is, if we look back into the future, will you and I allow America to come to a tragic day of judgment at the hands of a righteous God, simply because we're not willing to sacrifice the non-essentials in order to safeguard our comfort and our convenience? We must make Christianity real to the world, whether we like it or not. And those are the facts before us. I'm reminded of a true story that happened during World War II that expresses my concern for America. A small city along the banks of the Mississippi River was in danger of being completely flooded by the rising mighty river. This small city boasted one of the largest cement plants in the state of Mississippi. They employed over half the population of that city and presently were contributing to the war effort. Volunteers reported to the scene where the banks from the river now were overflowing. So sandbags were filled and put into position in order to hold back those floodwaters. And every able-bodied person took part. No one sat in the grandstands. Their jobs, their homes, and their city were all at stake. All night long, they worked, and far into the next day. And then about the time they thought they had it whipped, they were out of sandbags. What would they do now? Were they to lose the battle after such a gallant try? Without hesitation, the president of that cement company gave immediate orders. He said, go down to our warehouse, bring those thousands of bags that are full of cement, and place them on top of these sandbags. We must hold back the floodwaters, he said, at all cost. Yes, it was costly, but it was necessary. And even more important, it was a willing sacrifice on the part of that cement company. It was a sacrifice that paid off, because the addition of those thousands of bags of cement saved the city. Now, let me make a correlation here. In Isaiah chapter 15, chapter 59 and verse 19, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Very often in life, the floodgates of distress are suddenly opened, and we're overwhelmed by trials of every description. But if you are in Christ, we need not fear, because our Heavenly Father holds those troubled waters in the very hollow of his hands. Today, a flood tide of sin and corruption, along with disobedience and outright immorality, threatens a testimony of every Christian and every church that names the name of Christ. And if we are to occupy till he comes, then it's going to mean sacrifice and obedience on our part. Every Christian must put on the whole armor of God to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Many years ago, Martin Luther stepped onto the battlefield with faith in God and faced the opposition of a backslidden church with all its power, and shocked the world by the Reformation. Here again, in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, the Apostle Paul exhorts the Christian to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, and be not conformed to the ways of this world. Personally, I'm convinced more than ever before that what we do now, today, will decide whether freedom or slavery will permeate the world in the not too distant future. Let me give you an example. In 1917, the communist Russia declared war on God and launched a bloody attack against Christianity. And in their initial attack, they did not hesitate to liquidate 20 million of their own people. And history verifies this very fact that I'm telling you now. They would not be hindered in carrying out their devilish plan. And in the years to follow, churches were destroyed, clergy were liquidated, Christians were murdered, and history records the horrible method of torture they used to try and suppress Christianity. Believe me, God knew what he was talking about when he told Daniel of old, the wicked shall do wicked, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Today, you and I understand, because God knows how wicked people can become and what the future holds. And I understand. And every Christian that knows anything at all about prophecy and the Word of God understands. God said, in the last days, which I believe we're in the last days, perilous times shall come, and many shall turn their ears from the truth. I believe this is the state of the world today. And in the light of the second coming, there are many who are denying their faith in God by the way they're living. I read some time ago of a mountain in Mexico that had lain dormant for a long period of years, and suddenly it came alive and erupted. The destruction was horrible, and there was a great loss of life. Thousands of people perished, and even more lost all of their possessions. But the tragedy was that people lived for years in complacency, never preparing for such a drastic change, even though the potential danger was always present. Today, perhaps you and I think God is inactive, and your present circumstances are reinforced with concrete and steel. Friend, that's just the way it seems. It's really not that way at all. You see, time always catches up with man, and sin is sure to find him out. And once seemingly stable foundation of life will give way to God's power and to God's judgment. In the 10th Psalm, the 16th verse, it tells us, "The Lord, that is my Jesus, the Lord is King forever. Even the nations are perished out of his land, but every sinner will someday face his own kind of exploding mountain." Now, this leads me to my next thought. What about this, the world of people without Christ? They've never trusted him as their personal Savior. What does God have to say about them? Let's find out. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 31 tells us, "There will be signs everywhere of the second coming of Christ." Today, we're beginning to see a lot of those signs. It says, "In the sun, the moon, and stars, as well as sea, and among the nations of the earth, there will be distress and perplexity." Today, every continent in the world is vexed with a problem of uncertainty. Men everywhere are saying, "Why has all this come about?" The answer is simply, it's found right here in the Word of God. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 says. "They shall turn away their ears from the truth in the last days." You see, the truth has a way of catching up with everything. You and I can't ignore truth. And the truth hurts, because it reveals everything that is false. Now, in the light of everything that is happening today, and the uncanny ability of this Bible to pinpoint every detail and the future destiny of the world, I say any person who rejects God's holy word and believes a lie, that person's got to be placed in the category of a hypocrite. Our Lord brought out this truth in Matthew chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, when he said to the Pharisees, "Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Look about you today. Everywhere one looks, in the newspapers, on television, at home, or abroad, the world is at odds with God. Unbelief is robbing the world of God's blessings. And men of the world are aggressively attacking his word and his children. That's why Jesus Christ, in my opinion, must come back again soon. or God will not stand idly by doing nothing for very much longer. Yet in the face of all this evidence, it becomes harder and harder to convince the world it needs Jesus. Instead, they continue to reject and turn their eyes from the truth. Now, may I say this? Prophecy is today is being placed in the class of sensationalism. But prophecy is not meant to satisfy mere idle curiosity as to the future. Prophecy is for the purpose of helping people without Christ to prepare to meet God. And for the Christian, prophecy is for the purpose of drawing you and I closer and closer to our Lord. And when these things we're told begin to come to pass, then we're told to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now there's no doubt that these things are happening today. You know, as I look at my newspaper and listen to the headlines over TV, the radio, I find that there's a striking parallel between the building of the Tower of Babel and man's plan for today. First, the Tower of Babel was a godless program, for it was all of man's efforts, every bit of it. And God was completely left out of the picture. And second, it was an attempt to blend the ungodly nations with the godly, thus polluting and defiling them, making them of none effect. Now the truth is evident today with all the watered down contemporary services that have nothing to do with God's way or to serve Him. Then third, their ultimate goal was to reach heaven on their own without the help of God. And fourth, they wanted to make a name for themselves and see and receive all the glory for accomplishing a great feat apart from the glory of God. Now to me, that sounds like something that Satan is behind. But I want you to notice how it all ended. It all came to a sudden stop. By the coming down of our Lord, what did he do? He confused the languages and frustrated their plans. Now, take a look at man's program today. He endeavors to obliterate God from the picture. He seeks cooperation with everyone imaginable except God Almighty. He has invented 100 different ways to reach heaven on his own merits, including the statement of Jesus Christ himself, who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And besides all of this, man gives no credit to God, but brazenly claims a name for himself. And yet this word of God, God's word, says, "Without me, you can do nothing." People of ancient days who sought to live, work, and plan without God saw the hand of God's judgment. Now in our day, according to God's timing, Jesus, who is Lord, is coming back again to bring man's plans to naught. Yes, indeed, the King is coming back again. Personally, I don't know about you, but I believe it's sooner than we think. This same Jesus, the Bible says, shall come when you think not. It could be today. It could be a year from now. It could be 10 years from now. But whatever the time limit, he is definitely coming back again. And the Christian, who is aware of eternal issues and who is bound to Christ, That person knows he must give an account to himself, to God, at some point. And in his heart, he needs to get right with God. He needs to occupy his time on this earth by laying up treasures in heaven. And I say to each of you, and I talk to myself, isn't it time that you and I face up to our responsibilities in serving and living for Jesus Christ? Remember, behind every sin is a choice to disobey. The issue, therefore, is not defeat, but disobedience. Are you and I occupying our time for the Lord? Are we being an example before others that they might see Christ in our lives? Ask yourself, what is your life personally? Where do you stand in relationship to Jesus Christ? Are you living every day as if he may come today? Now think about it. The cost of obedience is nothing compared with the cost of disobedience. And I am amazed at times that with all the evidence that surrounds us in our day, yet so few people are willing to believe that the signs of the times point to a sure fulfillment of God's deadline. But that's nothing new. History has repeated itself time and time again. For example, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And in verse 11, it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." And then God proceeded to set a date for destruction. He gave the world a preacher by the name of Noah, who begged these people to repent. 120 years he begged the people to get right with God, to serve the Lord. He warned them to get ready for the coming storm. But like so many today, they laughed. They lived it up. They simply ignored all of his warnings. And the day the storm began, believe me, they did not laugh. No, indeed. Instead, they begged for mercy, but they had already gone past God's deadline, and there was no more mercy. It was finally time for judgment. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says of our age, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Today, you and I need to be busy for the Lord because he may come today or tomorrow. Friends, I believe it's later than you and I think. And I believe everything is right on schedule according to the plans of God. And the last invitation of this Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely." Revelation chapter 21, verse 17. God's directive to his children is, when these things begin to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Are you staying busy for the Lord, Christian? Are you watching literally for his return? Remember, he's going to come back someday when you and I think not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart this word of God teaches that we are living in the last days. We're surrounded by those that don't believe, by those that will do their utmost to destroy this word of God. We must stand fast and be found faithful, realizing, Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is coming back again soon. We must therefore make a commitment of our lives to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Let Him have His way in our heart and our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.